The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Of your might, your love, your awesomeness comes to everybody even in this next few minutes. Let your word come in power and do what only your word and your power can do this evening or this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me have us sit down. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fiolokorash. Sinakedosh. Are we ready this morning for God's word? I want to ask that again. Are we ready for God's word? That's not everybody. Are you ready for the word of God? Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, amen. Glory to God. Are we ready for God's word? So I'm teaching on walking in reverence. Hallelujah. This is one of the Sundays that it was very difficult for me to do what I'm doing now. Actually, it's supposed to be a miracle service, and it is yet a miracle service. Amen. So still expect that there'll be miracles on your part this morning. Do you have an expectation? So this is supposed to be a miracle service, but while I was praying within the week, the Lord put this one word in my heart, reverence. And I was struggling with it because, come on, that's not what I plan to do today. But he put it in my heart, reverence. You know, there are many other words he would have used, but he put that particular phrase. He kept thinking, reverence, reverence, reverence. And I said, okay, well, Lord, I'm going to yield. I'm going to do it. And that's why I said, I believe this is a prophetic word for someone this morning. And it's going to come with a lot of revelation. It's going to come with instructions too. And I can tell you, it's going to come with corrections. But there will be times I'm going to hit you. But not me hitting you. The word of God is going to hit you. Amen. And one of the ways to respond to God's word when it is not sweet is to adjust. Listen to me. The word of God can never adjust to you or to your standard. It can never adjust for you. It can never change for you. The 21st century cannot change God. We have to change. We have to adjust to the word and not the word adjusting to us. Are you following me? So this morning you must be ready to make all the necessary adjustments as we begin to learn God's word. I'm teaching on reverence. The word reverence means to honor. It means to fear. It means to respect. First, I said it means to honor. It means to fear. It means to respect. I've never thought on this the way I'm doing it this morning. Amen. It means to respect, to honor, and to fear. The major Hebrew word used for this is the word yare. Y-A-R-E. Yare. You find that in places like Psalm chapter 89 and verse 7. Psalm 89 verse 7. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said in the, come on, go to King James. Hallelujah. He said, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. It tells you how you relate to God. God should be held in reverence. So we must reverence God. And I'm going to be challenging you this morning on how to do that and why you must do that. And you will see the implication of that as we begin to practice this thing. So God is to be had in reverence. He's to be had in reverence. You hold him in high reverence. In Psalm 111, verse 9, 111 and verse 9. He said he sent redemption. I like this verse a lot.
He sent redemption unto his people. He had commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. So the name of God must be reverenced. He said, holy and reverend is his name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He sent redemption unto his people. He had commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Verse 10. Holy and reverend is his name. Just the next verse. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So God is to be reverenced. God is to be feared. Hallelujah. And I'm going to explain that to you this morning. You understand? When we talk about, Bible talks about the fear of God, the fear of God. God is to be reverenced. He's to be feared. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. Look at the Bible. Say, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace. When he talks about the kingdom that cannot be moved, he's referring to the New Testament. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with what? Reverence and godly fear. So God must be served with reverence. He must be served with godly fear. And so the fact that we are in the New Testament does not remove the fact that we must reverence God and we must fear him. As a matter of fact, the Bible makes it categorically clear in Proverbs 1 verse 7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So it is wisdom to fear God. Everybody pay attention. It is wisdom to fear God. Now, in the New Testament, there are two different ways the fear of God is explained. There are some places you see the fear of God in the Old Testament and it's referring to faith in him. There are places in the Bible where you see them that fear God simply means them that believe in him. Are you following me? There are places like that. However, there are other places that when you see the fear of God, it is referring to him being reverenced. Let me start by saying that God does not want people to be afraid of him. So when you hear the fear of God, it doesn't really mean to be afraid of God. It doesn't mean to dread God. God doesn't want to be dreaded. God wants to be known. God wants to be approached. I'm getting the point. God doesn't want you to, you know what people hear the fear of God, what they understand by it is, it means God is coming that way, you are taking that way. If you are before God, be careful. Don't do anyhow. He's going to strike you. That is not what God wants. God does not want anybody to be afraid of him. As a matter of fact, in John 1 verse 14, he tells us that the word was made flesh, and that word was Jesus. And Jesus is the revelation of God. He said, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. So men beheld the glory of God, and they didn't die. Because God doesn't want men to be afraid of him. God does not want men to run away from him. God does not derive pleasure in being feared. No father, no good father derives pleasure in being feared or being dreaded. And that's not God. And John 14 verse 8 tells us of how Jesus is the true character of God. Step this up a little. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. So Philip was asking Jesus, we want to see the Father. We want to see God the Father. So we just want to see him, and if we see him, we're going to be fine. And in verse 9, Jesus answered him and said, have I been so long time with you, and hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. So the day they were with Jesus, they were with the Father himself. In case you don't know, Jesus is not assistant God. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Jesus is God. So that day they saw Jesus, they saw God. So what it simply tells you is that God came into this world, ate with men, walked with men, dined with men. Men played with God. Are you getting the point? And they didn't die. Because God does not want to be feared or dreaded. So when I'm talking about the fear of God this morning, we're not talking about having or being afraid of God. No, that's not the fear of God. Are you following me this morning? We're not talking about being afraid of God. The fear of God is not to be afraid of him. The fear of God is not to dread him. The fear of God, however, refers to reverencing him. Having what I call reverential fear for him. Are you getting the point? Having reverential fear for him. So every believer should have that fear, should have that reverence for God. Why am I doing this teaching? It's something we're almost missing. There are two extremes. There is an extreme of people who are totally afraid of God. They actually think God is going to strike them. You hear this like, I committed sin. I cannot go close to my father. That's even a very terrible thing. You see, if you think that God is going to destroy you because you made a mistake, you don't know him. As a matter of fact, he died for sin as a no good man. I get the point. So there is an extreme where people are afraid of God. They are afraid of him totally. There's another extreme, which is where the most 21st century Christians are tending towards, which is where people feel, well, God is my father. He's my G. He's my guy. So I'm not going to reverence him. I can just do anyhow I want when I'm relating with him. That's a terrible extreme. He must not be there. Are you getting me? God must be reverenced. God must be feared. And there are about three. Let me just talk about this shortly. You must, one of the ways things that will help you walk in reverence is that you must know God. I'm taking you to somewhere with this teaching. You must know God. Now, first, you must know, for instance, God's almightiness. There are three revelations I'm going to talk about. Three or four. Three actually, but it's four. So, let's just go. So, you must know God's almightiness. You must know God as the God who can do all things. As the powerful God. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 11 tells us of God's might, God's power. Put it up quickly. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 11. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at the screen. It says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom of Lord, O Lord, for thou art exalted as head above all. That is talking about the power of God, the might of God, the almightiness of God. You must know it. Hallelujah. I get the point. Friends, I need to tell you that God is almighty. He is all powerful. He is powerful. The Old Testament calls him the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is that powerful. You must know his almightiness. It is this revelation that will work miracles with. Because you know the man is, God is all powerful. He can do all things. So when he stands before a case, the case is as good as done. Are you following the point? When he stands before a condition, it's as good as settled. Because he's powerful. Some of you think that when we do spiritual warfare, people imagine God and Satan fighting. God does not need to fight Satan. God will destroy Satan and can destroy Satan with his thoughts. You didn't get what I said? If he just thinks it, he's gone. We are talking about the mighty God. We are talking about the powerful God. The God who has the capacity to do all things. And you must know that. You must know God as a God that is powerful. You know, in Jeremiah 32 verse 27, he said, I am the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Is anything too hard? Jeremiah 32 27. Hallelujah. Is there anything too hard? So you must know God. Now, when you know God as the Almighty, the powerful one, it will help you walk in reverence. But that's not the only revelation you need. If this is the only thing, because this is the problem with the Old Testament. The only thing they knew about God was his might, his power. So, they, in an attempt to reverence God, they became afraid of him. I get to the point. If you just know God as God who is powerful, come on, you'll be scared of that kind of person. The one that divided the Red Sea. He that can overturn the chariots of Pharaoh. If you just know him as that, you will reverence him, but that reverence will turn to fear. I get to the point. If they begin to tell you, maybe there's one stranger, okay, there's one guy that is just very powerful. You know, how many of you read some of this? I don't know whether it happened really. Some of these Igbo novels when we were growing up, about a man called, there's a man that used to carry how many bags of cement? Kiliwi Nwachukwu. How many of you read about him? Some of you guys are very young. Okay, so those days, we read about how this man can carry up to 50 or 100 bags of cement. Once on his head. How they will just keep one trailer right there. And he will put a rope on the trailer. And begin to drag the trailer. Hallelujah. Now let's assume that is true. If you hear such things about such a man. The first day you meet the man. And he walks into your room. The first thing that will come upon you. Is fear. Because if this man handle me. I'm handled. Now, that is what happens when all you know about God is his almightiness.
Are you getting the point?
You become afraid of him. You hear that he's coming, you are taking that way. That's what the testament. God wanted to talk to them. The first day God spoke to them, he came as thunder, lightning. They told Moses, see guy, you and God have been doing this thing. So you be hearing from God. They're telling us, we don't want to hear him. Moses said, oh, the Lord wants us to be able to be prophets. He said, we don't want to be prophets. We want to be members. Hear from God and tell us. They just knew about his power. It will produce reverence, but it will produce fear.
Are you in church this morning?
Now, but then there's another revelation you must have. You must know him as love and know him as father. When you know God as love and as father, the first thing he does is that it casts out fear. 1 John 4 verse 8 tells us that he that does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. God does not love. God is love. God does not have love as one of his attributes. God is love.
Are you following me, church?
So when you know God as a powerful God and know him as a loving father, you will reverence him. But because he's love, the Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear.
Are you getting the point?
So when you know his true character as love and know him as father, it will begin to produce reverence in your heart. So you must know him as, you must know his almightiness, you must know him as love, you must know him as father. 1 John 4 verse 16. 1 John 4 verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God had to us. He says, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God and God in him. So if you want to describe God in one word, that word is love. So you must also know God as love. You must know him as your father. 1 John 3 verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. How did he bestow this love upon us? It's not by giving us cars or giving us houses, that we should be called the sons of God. So you must know God as your father. In fact, most importantly, know him as a loving father. That way you can relate with him. So his almightiness and the knowledge of him as love and father, we bring a perfect blend. Where you know him as father, but then you also know that he's powerful. How many of you have a father, a biological father, that you have a very good relationship with?
Very good.
Now, you notice, when you know your father loves you a lot, it's a blend of these two things. You love him. You know he loves you. So because you know he loves you, you can play around him. You can even joke with him. But you also know that he's your father.
I get the point.
There is still a place where he's going to tell you, I get out of this place, and then... That's a blend. And then there is the third that be fourth. I don't want to put it. You can put it as the fourth or the third. You know why I say so? I've mentioned knowing God as the Almighty. I've mentioned knowing him as love. I've mentioned knowing him as father. So you can put love and father as one, or love and father separately. Now, the third or the fourth one, however you want to put it, is that you must know him as Lord. If you understand these four things I explained to you now, it will help your relationship with God. So you know that this man is almighty. This God is almighty. He's all powerful. Now, you know that, well, even though he's all powerful, he loves me and he's my father. So he's not going to strike me or destroy me. However, he is my Lord. The word Lord means owner. The word Lord in our terms, in our present day terms, we're going to use your boss. I get the point. Lord is not father. Lord is commander. Lord is boss. And Jesus is both our friend, our father, our almighty God, and our Lord. So look at the blend here. Imagine having a father. A biological father that is very powerful. He is very wealthy. He can pull the strings and he has all the power. You leverage on that. Amen? But then this your almighty father also loves you a lot. He also loves you too much. So you can play with him. However, he has a company where he employed you. You are his employee. When you get to work, you don't talk to him as father.
Are you following me, church?
You have to reverence him as your boss. If not, he will fire you in the office and love you at home. Are you following me, friends? And that's why I'm talking about reverence today. Many of us, all we know, God is my Father. He is also Lord. And when he is Lord, Lord does not ask. Lord commands. Follow me very, because this is where we have to talk about reverence. That's the way you relate with God. It is not fear, but you must reverence him. He is Lord. And I'm going to bring some corrections to you. So this is proper balance. I know that he's almighty, he's all powerful. However, I know that he loves me and he's my Father. But then I also know that he's my Lord. I love the way Paul spoke to Jesus in Acts chapter 9 verse 4. When Jesus appeared to him on the way to Damascus. And after all those encounters, come on, put up verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me now? See verse 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? I like that I called him Lord. And see what follows next. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. I like the next thing Paul said, because Paul is a Jewish man. He understands when someone is Lord. The next thing he said in verse 6. And he trembled and astonished. He said, Lord, what will you have me do? That's not to relate with Lord. What should I do? That's reverence right there. You know, even though your father is your father, if he's your boss in the office, if he says, submit this file by 7, proper reverence and respect and honor demands that by that 7, he must submit that file. If you do not submit that file, because he's your father, you are walking in dishonor. You are an irreverent child. I get the point. You're walking in dishonor. Taking advantage of the fact that he's your father. That's why there must be reverence in our relationship with God. Our walk with God must be a reverence kind of walk. That's why I talk about the fear of God. We don't fear God like the Old Testament saints feared him, because most of them did not know that he's Lord. They didn't know him as Father. I get the point. We don't fear him like that. But let me say this. The more you know God, the more you know his grace, the more reverential you must become. Now, this is why I'm doing this teaching. It is easier to reverence a man you don't know. How many of you know this? It's easier to fear a man you don't know. Some of you, for instance, and this brings me to honor. Not today, Sha. Honor towards men. Some of you, before you met some people in your life, before you met me, first day you met, Pastor Henry, I'm so honored to be to Jesus. Good evening, sir. That's the first day. Because you don't know me very well. You just see me from far. You know, people celebrate mystery a lot. You don't know me. Now, but if I now bring you into my room, after 2 years, you can now even see my call. Oh, why is he calling me now? I'll call him back. Now, this was a call that you are craving. Oh, I'm looking for the day that Papa will just call me. I get the point. Because once there is intimate knowledge, there is see finish. Do you understand? Now, that is not supposed to be the attitude of believers. Not towards man, not towards God. And that's why I'm doing this teaching. Do you know the reason why it was easy for the Old Testament saints to fear God a lot? They didn't know him. He was the God that dwelt in light that was unapproachable. They didn't know him. So nobody had to teach them on reverence. Now you go teach yourself. A man you don't know, you have to just respect yourself whenever he's around. The challenge with the New Testament, why we have to teach on reverence a lot these days, is because in the New Testament, God can now be known. We can now know God. We can now see him. If we don't begin to become deliberate with walking in reverence, we'll become men of dishonor. Because we've seen him. We can now see him face to face. We've seen him in the face of Jesus. Are you following me this morning? That's why I'm doing this teaching. So it's easier to reverence someone or to reverence someone you don't know. The Old Testament said they've never seen God. Bible tells us in John chapter 1 verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The few times he manifested himself to them, it was not funny. One saw bush burning, but the bush was not burnt. There's no need to tell you to reverence that kind of person.
Are you following me this morning?
The other one, if he wants to come, he will come in a cloud. Sometimes with thunder, brimstone, lightning, and everybody's afraid. So they didn't have to learn how to reverence. In fact, they were even afraid of him. But in the face of Jesus, we have seen God. The Bible said, no man has seen God at any time, but the very begotten of the Father, he has declared God. So Jesus, the true character of God, has appeared. The fear or the tendency is that many people might be God. We've just become very casual in their walk with God. And they begin to walk in dishonor. They begin to walk in irreverence. And let me tell you one of the things this produces. When you don't walk in reverence, you are blocking the flow of the supernatural towards you. And I'm going to explain to you how it works. If God is going to be of good blessing to you, then you must hold God in high esteem. That's how even when he speaks to you, those words will work. Because you hold him in high esteem in your heart. Are you following me? But if you've trivialized God, I'll talk about honor. I'll come to church today. You know, church and all that. One of those days, many years ago, about last 2 years or so, I mean last year, self, I was having a meeting in church, not this venue, the other venue. It was a very small meeting that had PGTI, that had ladies, few ladies in it, and one or two guys, about one guy or so. I was having a meeting in church. I think less than 10 or 15. And then this young man came and he wanted me to come and repark my car. And they told him, well, he's preaching. So maybe you take the key. I didn't get the point. And repark, move the car and come and. He said he doesn't want to know. And then he walked into church. Amen. Because it was a small meeting and the hall was small. Went to the amplifier and began to disconnect the cord. Amen. Thank God it was a small meeting. Because the church I know. Thank God it was a small meeting. When it was there, I just went and said, Father, thank you, Jesus, because this is just a small meeting. Because it had been, a man came to church, the church beat him, he died. Because this church I know would have, I have people that were still testing their salvation in this place, whether it's complete. Now, that is the height of irreverence. And that's the thing about man. If he had come into this service now, as all of us are seated, everything is organized, he won't do that. I didn't get the point. But he came with this one meeting I was having with some people. I was just training some of our people. And he felt, what's that? So all he wanted was for me to come down from that stage. It wasn't a big deal for me. I controlled the supernatural. Even if I'm flowing under the power of God, I can keep it on pause. Go and do what I want to do. Come back and continue from where I stopped. So it wasn't a problem for me leaving that place. But I was pitying him. You see, when you disdain the Lord in your heart, when you will need him, you will pray, nothing will happen. Not because God will not answer you, but because your heart has been taught to believe that this church thing is nonsense. I didn't get the point. And it's not after believing that this church thing is nonsense, you now want a miracle, you come to that same church that is nonsense. Nothing is going to work. Are you following me? So I was just pitying him. Because tomorrow the young man is going to need help. And he's going to want, he's going to church. He's going to say, church does not work. They pray, but all this prayer thing doesn't work. Do you know why? He has taught his heart to believe that all this thing is nonsense. You must walk in reverence. I'm coming to church because I think I'm running out of myself. You have to ask yourself questions. Those questions they ask us when we were young. And it's a very important question. If actually I was in a meeting with the president of the country, will he come and interrupt that meeting? I don't get the point. Now, this is where reverence comes in. You see, the more you think you know God. You know, when I later told everybody to calm down, and I went out to repack the car. And, you know, the mom was with him. And I was disappointed that the mom was with him. And I was disappointed because mothers should be wiser. And guess what this woman was saying? She said, leave all this thing. I'm also an evangelist. You notice it is that familiarity with God.
Are you getting the point?
Is that familiar? The question is, if Ogboni people were holding meeting, wearing yellow and black. I feel what I'm saying. Will they come in and do that? They won't. It is a heart full of dishonor and irreverence for God. And tomorrow they will seek help from that same God. Your heart must be trained to reverence God.
Are you following me this morning?
Your heart must be trained to reverence God. And I'm going to show you some of the ways we walk in reverence towards God. One of the first ways we walk in reverence towards God is by recognizing what He has done in Christ and who He has made you. One of the highest mark of irreverence towards God is to not know or to not value the things that He has done in Christ Jesus. It is the highest mark of irreverence. You do this by two ways. One of them is unbelief. That is when they preach the gospel to you, what Christ has done, and you reject it. But then the other way is to also have accepted Jesus, but you still don't hold what He has done in Christ in high esteem. I will still show you that. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Hebrews 10, verse 29. He said, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who had trodden underfoot the Son of God. He's talking about unbelief here. See how he describes people that reject what Christ has done. Either by unbelief or one other one I'm going to show you shortly. Who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and had counted the blood of covenant where it was sanctified an unholy thing and had done despite unto the Spirit of God. Put up like NLT. Look at your screen. He said, just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant which made us holy as if it were common and unholy. I have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings gospel to us. You see, when you reject what God has done in Christ, or you know it, but you don't value it how it should be valued, that's irreverence. This also includes people that, for instance, they are born again. They know God Christ has paid for them, but they say, well, even though Christ has paid for my sins, I still think I still need to do some works to qualify for God's mercy. What they are saying to Jesus is, what you did is good, but what you did is not enough. Are you following me, church? Just like you see your father. Your father starts a very big project, completes the project, and after he completes the project, you check it and you say, oh, well, he's just there. And that's how you act when Jesus has saved you, he has forgiven you, he has redeemed you, and then you are still saying to yourself, well, for me, for you to still make heaven, even though Jesus has done all these things, so, but yourself, you need to work hard. You are walking in irreverence towards God and what he has done in Christ Jesus. Are you following me, church? Let me show you a scripture. Galatians 2:21. Put up NLT. Put up NLT. Look at the screen, everybody. Don't miss this. This is one of the most important parts of this teaching. NLT. Everybody read from the screen. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, go. So Paul said he does not treat the grace of God as meaningless. What does it mean to treat God's grace as meaningless? For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. So how to treat God's grace as meaningless is when you believe that even though Christ has died and all he has done is good, but then for you to still become God's friend, you must still have to do this and do that. When Jesus died on the cross for you, he rose and he said, finished. The work was done. So there is no work man is going to add to qualify him before God. You bring your work, you are walking in irreverence towards the sacrifice of Christ. And that's the highest display of dishonor. In one word, that is pride. Pride, you know what pride is? Pride is that God says, I have made you this. And you say, well, I think I need to do this to become this. And that's the game of the devil. Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our image. Genesis 3, Satan came and said, if you eat this tree, you will be like God. So God gave them something. Satan presented what they have to do to become what God has made them. It's the same game. God says you are righteous. Satan says, well, even though you are born again and you are righteous in Christ, but if you still don't do this and don't do this, you are going to hell. So you find yourself working so hard to add to what God has done in Christ. That's irreverence. Say no addition. Say again, say no addition. Say the work of God in Christ Jesus is perfect. So God has made you righteous. I don't know if you know this. God has forgiven you. The Bible tells us in Colossians 2 verse 10 that we are complete in Him, who is the head of all principalities. God has made you complete. God thinks you okay. He perfected the finished work for your life. But then Satan comes to you, or you come to yourself, and you say, well, even though you have done all those things, but I can tell you, there's still some work, just one or two work that we need to do. Every work you do to earn God's approval means you are saying to Jesus, what you did was not good enough. Listen, somebody, one of our people here asked me a question yesterday about fasting. And I really liked the question. You see, fasting is a good thing. Should believers fast? Yes, believers should fast. But you see, there is a way you fast and it becomes irreverence towards God. When you think that it is your fasting that will earn you God's approval, that God is just going to be pleased with you and say, chai, this my daughter has not eaten for the past 2 days. Oh, chai. I just like, if you think that's what you are trying to say, that what God on the cross is not enough for God to accept you, they have to add your fasting. If you want to fast, I'll tell you what to do with your fast. Remove food. Remove water. Or if you take water if you must. But remove distractions. Focus on the Lord. Study your Bible. Pray. That is real fast. God does not bless you for not eating. Say amen. You focus on the Lord. What is the purpose of removing food? To remove distraction and not to make God happy. Some of you think you can blackmail God with your fasting. Say, God, imagine for the past that I've not eaten, you better go and eat. God is talking to you right now. If you think there is no work that man will bring that will qualify him before God, every work that man presents is dead works, is strange fire. I explained that to you, right? Strange fire. Because that's what killed Nadab and Abihu in the Old Testament. They brought strange fire. Strange fire is any sacrifice that God has not ordered you to offer. And I can tell you, the only sacrifice that Jesus, that God will accept, is the sacrifice of His Son. You come to Him on account of your own works. That's strange fire. You come to Him on account of your righteousness. That filthy rag that you call righteousness. That's strange fire. Someone say, I'm righteous. Say this with me. Say, God, Jesus, I accept what you have done. I accept what you have done. It is complete. It is perfect. That's reverence. So the irreverent man wants to add to what God has done. The man who walks in honor says to God, you did a good job. Are you following me? The price Jesus paid was for your sins to be forgiven. The day you believed in Him, all your sins were forgiven. The day you accept that all sins are forgiven, you are walking in reverence towards Him. It means you are saying to Him, there is no doubt your work was perfect. You know, the beautiful thing about heaven is that the day we get to heaven, nobody is ever going to stand in heaven saying, well, I got here by my trying. Jesus, you did a good job. But you see, it was not easy. We worked hard. That is how I don't want heaven to be. Because we're going to spend the whole eternity listening to people brag about how they got there. But when we get to heaven, nobody will have anything to brag about. It is Jesus that brought us here. It's His sacrifice that brought us here. It's what He has done. So nobody has nothing to brag. Imagine you get heaven by your works. All of us will be bragging. You say, it was not easy. So the whole eternity, everybody is sharing stories of their own exploits. But when we get to heaven, we only talk about what He has done. His sacrifice. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. Glory to God. So nobody can be accepted before God on account of His works. This is the problem that Israel had. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. Read it up. Or verse 1. Because of, so that you can get the full flow. Romans 10 from verse 1. Put up like NLC. This will bless you more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at the Bible. Dear brothers and sisters, the longing, you see what I mean by irreverence. The longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misdirected zeal. For they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. That's the problem. They say, well, I want to be right with God, but it's not about all the Jesus just saying, me, I want to do it by my own efforts. That's strange fire. That's irreverence. Verse 4 now tells us clearly that Christ Jesus has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. Do I have believers in the house this morning? So all who believe in him are made right with God. So when you accept who God has made you, you're walking in reverence towards him. You're walking in honor towards him. You're walking in his fear. Glory to God. So the first way to walk in reverence is to accept who God has made you by the sacrifice of his son. The second way to walk in reverence, and it gets more serious from here, is by your readiness to obey him in all things. Underline all, or put all in capital letter in your notes. Your readiness to obey him in all things. A man of reverence is ready to obey God. To obey God in all things. First Peter 3 verse 15 tells us, sanctify the Lord in your hearts. And I like that. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Glory to God. First Peter 3 15, put it up. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Hallelujah. Put up like Amplified. Our Amplified Classic. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. He said, but your heart, set Christ apart as holy. Acknowledge him as Lord. That's what I was talking about, Lord. To sanctify him is acknowledge him as Lord. Lord means, sir, I'm ready to obey you. Whatever you want to say, your will, your way. It is irreverence towards God to obey God in one area of your life and tell him, well, for this area, don't touch that part. You know, Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke used to tell a story. It's a parable and I really loved it. He shared the story of a man, a great man, who Satan used to come to his house to harass. Every time Satan knocks on the door, he opens the door, Satan harasses him and messes him up. And so, he invited Jesus to his house. I said, Jesus, Satan has been harassing me, so I'm going to give you one room in this house. So that once you are here, let me see that devil that will come. And Jesus said, it's fine. I moved into the room. And the next day, Satan came knocking at the door. And the man went and opened the door, and Satan messed him up again. And left. So he ran back to Jesus. I said, how can you be there? I said, Satan messed me up. And Jesus told him, I was in the room you told me to stay. And he said, okay, fine, I get it. I'm going to give you two rooms. And he gave him two rooms. And the next day, Satan came knocking because he always come. Hallelujah. And then the man went to open the door with the black door. Well, Jesus is in my house. If you see, immediately opened the door. Before he could say G, he was down. And he went to Jesus and complained. Jesus said, fine. I was here. You told me to stay. He said, okay, fine. So I'm going to give you all the rooms in this house. Let me keep at least the parlor and the kitchen to myself because I have to eat. You take all the rooms. And Jesus said, it's fine. And then Satan came knocking the next day. And with all confidence, he went to open the door. And the same thing happened. So he came back to Jesus and said, Father, what is happening? He said, I'm just where you told me to stay. And angrily, he said, well, if you want all my house, take everywhere. I just don't want this harassment. So he became a tenant in his own house. And Jesus said, fine, then give me the key. And he gave him the key. And the next day, Satan came knocking again. And he ran to open the door. By the time he got to the door, he recalled he's no longer with the key. So he went and sat down for the owner of the house to go and open the door. And the rest, they say, is history. And that tells you, Jesus does not want second place in your life. He does not want you to let him into your relationship and keep him out of your finance. He wants to dictate how you do your finance. He wants to dictate how you do your relationship. He wants to dictate how you do life. And that is what it means to reverence him. He doesn't want to be Lord only when you are in church. He wants to dictate how you choose your friends. He wants to dictate how you do your studentship. He wants to dictate how you do your business. His word should be your final recourse. You see, you should be ready to obey him, obey his word at all times. And that is the true mark of reverence. When you say to him, I'm going to do life the way you said it should be done. I'm going to do my relationship how you said it should be done. I'm going to do my career how you want it to be done. That is reverence. It is mark of irreverence to want to do life outside God's word. And you see, wherever you let Jesus out of, he's going to stay away from there. He won't force himself on you. So Jesus wants to be the Lord. And walking in reverence means that you let him be Lord. You let him be Lord over your relationship. You let him be Lord over your family. So what does that even mean? Is it just, it's not like saying to Jesus, Father, come and take control. That's not what I mean. Letting him become Lord means that you must allow his word dictate how you do those areas of your life. You must allow his word dictate how you choose who you marry and dictate how you do your marriage. You can't do marriage outside God's word and say he's Lord. You must let his word dictate how you choose your friends. You must let his word dictate how you live. The word of God should be what dictates how you do life. You can't be a young girl and you're trusting of financial prosperity and how you make the money is by sleeping with people or by deceiving people or by doing wrongs or doing whatever. You are walking in irreverence towards God. You are not allowing him dictate how you run your finances. That's what it means. You're not allowed to. You must let him dictate how you do life. And that is how he becomes Lord. That is how he takes full control. Many of us don't like hearing that Jesus is Lord. They want to hear that he is Father. They want to hear that he is loving, always forgiving. But I tell you, he is also Lord. And he wants to dictate how you run your life. His word and his spirit wants to dictate to you how you will dress. You can't keep away from your dressing. He wants to dictate how you dress. He wants to dictate how you talk. He wants to dictate how you eat. Say amen. And reverence is to say to him, your will, your way. Whatever your word says, whatever your spirit leads me to do, I am going to do it. Hallelujah. Whatever he says you do. You see, that's why the songwriter said, say, God, you don't need me. Somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to take my hands off of my life and give you control. Giving God control is not by saying, Father, take control. How about people that tell God, take control? Don't let him take control. If he's going to take control, then you must let him dictate how you run your life. Hallelujah. Let me say this to you. God wants to be the one dictating how you do life. He doesn't want you to start something and invite him. He wants to be the one to tell you to start it. You don't get it. He wants to be there where you want to do your relationship. Many people don't want to care what God's word said about relationship. They feel they can date 2-3 people and just do their own, this. We are woke. Can I say something to you, friends? Are you ready? You see, the world will keep trying to readjust the standard. But God's word can never change. And I was saying it in one of our teachings some time ago. Every time, as the years go by, the world keeps readjusting the system. Keeps trying to pacify sin. Some years ago, I'll use dressing, I'll use immorality. Some years ago, it was a crime, a total crime, societal crime, for a woman or a man to sleep with someone that are not married. But then as we are progressing, where we are now is that you can now sleep with the person. Once both of you are dating and both of you are in love. And it makes sense. But no matter how much it makes sense, it is still wrong. The word of God is God's word. And you better readjust because it will not change for you. Are you following me? Once both of you are in love, both of you can even cohabit and live together. How will I get to know him? Amen. And people ask some silly questions. Questions that you are not necessary some years ago. They say, sir, what of sexual compatibility? How am I sure that we are sexually compatible? Who even gave you that word? You want to check if both of us are sexually compatible? Or you want to check whether she can give birth? The word of God will never adjust for you. The worst you can do is to get angry at it, fight it, shout, say nonsense, say pastors are the same people. Pastors, when they say make you know, do themselves they do. Well, the pastor is not the standard. God's word is the standard. I get the point. God's word is the standard. It will never adjust for you. And I even said if there is nothing like sexual compatibility in marriage, there's nothing like that. There's only something like sexual contentment. Not today. Glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah. Say, I love the word of God. Say, I am what he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. God wants to dictate how you run your life. You know, I mentioned dressing, for instance. Some years ago, it was wrong to even show your cleavage. It was wrong to show your thighs. But now, where we are now, amen? You tell someone, don't show your cleavage, don't show your thighs. He said, well, what they even call it? Body confidence. So body confidence is to show your skin to everybody. The word of God will never change for you. Philippians 4 verse 5, let your moderation be known to all men. It can never change. You can never change. And most people that are trying to do body confidence by exposing themselves are not confident at all. They are suffering from low self-esteem. Because if you are confident, you know you have it. You know, it's when you don't know that you have it that you are trying to show it. Think about it. When you make someone a professor newly, everywhere he's going to, he wants to add it to his name. My name is Professor Bright. If you don't add it, you'll quarrel with him because he's still trying to convince himself that he's a professor. When he knows that he is, if you don't add it, it's fine. If you know you are confident, if you know you have it, you don't show it. Because your body is not for everybody to watch. It is for one man. And that is forever true. And people, we keep trying to readjust, to accommodate the world system. That's why I can forever tell you, meet me 30 years, what is wrong for you to wear today is forever wrong for you to wear. Forever. It can never be right to show your thighs. It can never be right for a lady to show her cleavages. It can never be right for a man to dress and open his buttons like he's a mad person. It can never be right. It has never been right. It will never be right. Are you following me? He says, sir, but I see some churches, I thought this is even a grace church. Some churches I know, let me say this to you. Listen, if your proof that you know grace is madness, you don't know it. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness. That's what it does. So what is wrong with forever be wrong? Say amen. He says, sir, is there anybody I'm talking to in church this morning? I'm talking to everybody. And anybody feeling attacked? You see, you must allow, and it's not just for you to, to feel attacked is for you to know that God wants to be the Lord. He wants to tell you how you dress. He wants to tell you how you will act. He wants to tell you how you will marry. He wants to tell you how you will eat. He said, does God tell us how we eat? Yes. That's why he doesn't want you to become a glutton. Doesn't want you to become a drunkard. Doesn't want you to take wine like you're a mad person. Doesn't want you to be addicted to drugs. He wants to dictate those areas of your life. And I want to challenge you this morning to allow him. Allow him. How do you allow him? Find out what God's word has said concerning any area of your life and attempt to walk in that light. So what if I've been making mistakes? Well, it first starts with accepting to do what God wants. Somebody came to my office and was complaining she has made a lot of mistakes. I asked her only one question. If I counsel you, I'm going to ask you one question. Is there anything in you that wants to do things God's way? Is there anything in you? She said yes. I said, fine. That desire has to be there. That desire to want to do it God's way. But you see that mindset of, I really don't care. It's my life. You can't tell me how to run it. Well, I can't tell you how to run your life, but God's word can tell you how to run your life. Because God's word is superior to you and your motives and your thoughts. So, as a pastor, I have no right to tell you how to run your life. But standing on the word of God, I can tell you how to run your life. Because it's God's word. Hallelujah. And related to this, the next, you know, I know about walking in reverence towards God, for instance, is related to this too. Is to reverence him by your actions, your speech. I'm already talking about it now. Your actions. I'm showing you a scripture. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 16. Everybody watch the screen because this is going to bless you tremendously. And that's why you cannot live carelessly. When you begin to live a careless life as a believer, you are walking in irreverence towards God. And this is what I'm going to talk about, conduct. And say a little about sexual immorality. It is a major mark of irreverence. Look at your Bible. Paul said, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two said he shall be one flesh. Now watch. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. Now follow. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinned against the body. Now, see verse 19. I want you to pay attention here. He said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not. Now, stay here. What this means is that, you see, the day you got born again, this body no longer belongs to you. Everybody, please follow what I'm going to teach you this morning. Because that's how you will know. If you understand what I'm saying this morning, that's how people say this, like, I can live my life in that. It is a lie. The day you came into Christ, this body is no longer. You say, how is it not my own? You will see. See the next verse. How is this body not your own? Verse 20. For you are bought with a price. So it's just like, I use this phone always as an example. I go to the market before, when this phone was in the store, the person at the store could use it anyhow. The phone can misbehave. The day I bought this phone, I now own this phone. The price Jesus paid on the cross was to buy you. I get the point. And when you buy a property, you decide what you want to use that property to do. And so when someone is using your property for what you did not plan to use it for, you get angry. Are you following what I'm saying? Imagine you go buy a clothes, you know, you buy a fine clothes, maybe 15,000 naira gown. Ladies, praise God. And you just buy the gown and you hang it. You plan this gown for special occasions like wedding or even the day they will propose to you. That's what. Amen. And then you come back one day and you see your roommate and she's on the gown washing. And singing, Chineke Nandewo, and she's washing. Now, what are you going to do? I've had this experience, so. You don't even know where to start. At first, you want to believe it's not that your gown that she's wearing. So you just have to convince yourself, well, it cannot be, it can't be the gown. How can she wear it? Does she not know that is my special gown. You now just go to clear the doubt, you go to the wardrobe. And lo and behold, it is that gown. The person is using your gown for a purpose, is using it irreverently. The person is dishonoring your gown. And that's the truth. Because when you buy a property, there's a reason you bought it. And you want it to be used for that reason. So look what it said. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. So your body and your spirit belong to God. Listen to me, church. It's not only your spirit that belongs to God. Even your body belongs to God. This will change you if you get this. Even your body, this hand is God's hand. This leg is God's hand, God's leg. He bought you. So that's why you cannot do with your body as you please. Because somebody owns the body. And I'm going to challenge you this morning that if you've been living in whatever kind of sin, immorality or anything like that, you begin to make up your mind to glorify God with your body. That's a mark of reverence. Teachings like this do not come to condemn you. They come to straighten you out. Are you following me? Yeah, they come so that you can readjust. Because this body belongs to God. This body belongs to God. He bought it. I wish this can open up to you. He bought it. This body. God owns this body. God owns this body. And that's why after you die, and then you are buried, when the trumpet sounds, he is going to go for that body. Because it's his body. He paid for it. How come? Are you following me, church? He won't leave that property. The Bible said when the trumpet shall sound, that the dead in Christ shall rise. They shall rise from where? From their grave. What is in the grave? Their body is what is in the grave. Because that body is God's body. I get the point. People think it's only our spirit that will go to heaven. No, our body will be there. Just that he will now transform the body. But it is that body. Why is he going for that body? He bought the body. And so, it's just like I bought something and I gave it to you to use for now. Are you getting the point? I ever borrowed somebody's thing to be using for the moment. That is the way you use it. That's how you use your body. So glorify God in your body. Ladies and gentlemen, your body is not for immorality. Your mouth is not to say every nonsense and every vulgar thing. This tongue is not your own. That's why you don't just talk anyhow. You don't just say anything. There are Christians who see nothing wrong with using the F word. They can use it anyhow. They say, it's come so common. He said, you have come. Did the Bible also should not use that one? What is the point? I F do this. If you remove that F, that sentence will be complete. Do you know what I said? Somebody will say, I F love you. Remove it. You can still say, I love you. Vulgar language. You just feel you can just say anything. How people, even when they come to church, they talk like that. And you know what it is? They're woke. I reject this wokeness. I reject it. I can't be that woke. Do you know, hey, Koraba. That is what Jesus, you know, that's what David, let me show you some scriptures before I proceed. Proverbs 8 verse 13. Watch. There's a way to conduct yourself. This is your body. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you reverence God, you must reverence him in your body too. Proverbs 8:13. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Simple. He said, to reverence God is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. That's what it means to fear God. Put up like NLT, the froward mouth. NLT. Quickly. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride, arrogance, corruption, and perverse speech. So you can't say, I have the fear of God. It should be seen. If you know that this body is God's body, be careful how you use it. Be careful how you use this tongue. To fear God is to hate evil. Chapter 14, verse 2. Message calls it crooked talk. Crooked talk. Proverbs 14 and verse 2. He that walketh in uprightness feareth the Lord. So we want to know what it means to fear God. Uprightness. It's how you walk. You know, when God began to teach me on this, you see, my body, I try, you know, some of you heard me make this declaration all the time. My body is yielded to God. Have you ever said that? Let's say this one. Say, my body is yielded to God as an instrument of righteousness. Only I do not yield my body to sin or to iniquity. I say this to myself every day. Job got to a point and he said, I have made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look at a woman. He said, Job, that's Old Testament. You see, even his body that he was using did not belong to God because God has not paid for that body. But yet he said, I make a covenant with my eyes. You see, there are decisions you must make. That's why I said you must know God as Father and love and know him as Lord. Because if you don't know him as Father and love, when you now make a mistake after making that decision, you will not start condemning yourself. Are you getting the point? But if you know him as love and father, when you make a mistake, what do? You know who you are in Christ. You bounce back and keep walking in that way. But when you don't know him as father and love, you just know him as Lord, ready to obey. If you now make a mistake, Satan will now come and condemn you, kill you with guilt and condemnation. Are you in church this morning? But your body must be yielded to God as an instrument of righteousness. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 26, I'll show you that. Ephesians 4 26. Glory to God. He said, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Continue. Neither give place to the devil. So when you are angry and you allow the sun to go down upon your wrath, you are giving place to the devil. Now watch, continue. Let him that stole, he was giving instruction on Christian conduct. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him walk laboring with his hand the thing which is good. So he said he should stop stealing. So first he said, don't let the sun go down with anger. That's avoid bitterness. Second, he said you should not steal. That's if you are making money through any evil way, through any crooked way. So what is crooked way? Let me give you a simple answer to what making money through a crooked way is. Every money you make that robs another person of his money is bad. Do you hear what I said? Every money you make that will rob, I didn't say that will get, because every money you make is coming from another person. I said that will rob, that will make someone give out what he's not supposed to give out, or more than he's supposed to give out. That's wrong. He said, let him steal no more. Continue. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to that act. Communications that must not drop from your mouth. Now, verse 30 is where I'm going to stop. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. So, there is a way you can live your life and you grieve. Now, is he going to leave you? No, the Holy Ghost will never leave you. He said, I'm there to stay. But you can do things that he wouldn't like. You can do things that do not work with his nature. One of them is your tongue. One of them also is love work. One of them is when you become a thief and begin to rob people of their hard-earned money. And I don't know if I need to say this again. I've said it a lot in this, but I'm going to say it again today. There is no way you explain Yahoo for you to be correct. It is still wrong. You are robbing people of their money. It's just because you're not a victim, that's why it makes sense to you. I get the point. If you become a victim, you know how bad it is. You are walking along the road, or someone is walking along the road, you pick money from the person's pocket. Or you use gun to point at the person to collect the money. Or you operate on your system and deceive people and collect their money. You are a thief. And the Bible says, let him that stole, steal no more. You stand on the road for guys to see you and patronize you. Or you don't stand on the road, but you go and hang out with them, married men. He didn't really ask them for the money, but they know what they should do when they are done. You are a prostitute. Ron's girl is just the prostitute that went to school. That's where Ron's girl is. Ashawo is the one that did not go to school. The one that went to school is called Ron's girl. Say amen. you must, the reason I'm saying all of this is because I wish you can leave this meeting. One thing I want this meeting to do for you, when you get back today, look at the mirror and begin to cherish this, your body. This, your body, does not belong to you. This is not my body. This is the body that Jesus paid to buy. This is not my head. Jesus paid to buy this head. Jesus paid to buy my eyes. He said, what did he pay? He paid the highest price, the blood of Jesus. He gave his life to buy your body. So you must glorify God in this body. So you see, I'm talking about speech. You see why Moses told them in Exodus 20 verse 7. And I want to talk about this before I move to the next point. Exodus 20 verse 7. Put it up, please. It's their commandment. I want to emphasize on it a little. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Simple. There is a way, don't talk about God. It's still about your words. People just talk about God. They think that work. He said, the big guy up there. Who is the big guy up there? Who? You're not afraid. The big G up there. You're being woke. Thank your God for the blood of Jesus. By now, do you know? Let me share this with you. Do you know that in the Old Testament, if a Hebrew man is writing, they write with feathers and all that, those days. If you want to write the name of God, you want to write Yahweh. If you are writing, you want to write God is good. When you write, before you start, you drop that's your feather, and go and wash your hand before you write the name of God. It was that serious. You go and wash it. If you want to write, and the Lord changed the direction, when he said, Andy, when you want to write, Lord, you drop it, wash your hand clean, and come and write. So avoid something happening to you. He said, well, that's Old Testament. Well, that's Old Testament. We don't live in fear. We don't dread God, but we reverence him. He is not the big guy up there. He is God. Are you following me? What do you mean big guy up there? What are all these things that people say? Some things people say. He said, Sky Daddy. You see, yeah, sometimes I wish to be God for some minutes, like 5 minutes of being God. I'm not a good person, though. 5 minutes. I won't kill you, because God does not kill. Or you'll be dumb. Some of you will be dumb. Some will be blind. Some will be deaf. You cannot hear anything again. For a short moment, say 1 hour, some of you 3 days. You must walk in reverence. Your speech, there are things you don't say, you don't just talk anyhow. And begin to practice it. I understand that when you're coming into Christ newly, there are things that you are used to that you have to get rid of. Some of you that have been so used to F word, it's fine. Just know that you cannot be that careless as a believer. Begin to work on getting rid of that thing from your tongue. That's why I don't work out to condemn people, because I know people are still growing. You know, there's this story I heard of this guy that came to church. It was his first time in church. He just got born again that day. They invited him to church in the evening. So he was so excited. When it was time to testify, he collected the mic. He was so excited. He said, oh, I F love this church, man. We are having it hard, man. Everyone was looking at him. Well, it was his first time in church. After that, the pastor called him and said, well, don't talk like that, yo. Glory to God. So you season your words with salt. I have 3 more things. Are you getting blessed? Another way to walk in reverence is thanksgiving. The man that walks in thanksgiving is walking in reverence. Walking in thanksgiving simply means, or thanking God simply means, that you recognize him as the doer of all things. Now, last night when I was thinking about this and meditating over this, one thing the Lord said to me is, you know, we have not yet recognized God as the doer of all things. When you live a life of thanksgiving, it's respect, it's honor, it's reverence. The thankful man is walking reverently towards God. You see here, never commonize God's goodness. Never let what God does for you become common to you. As simple as sleeping and waking up should not be a common miracle to you. Some sleep, they can't wake up. Are you following me, church? As simple as going out, you're going out in the morning, and you'll be like, I'm coming back in the evening to see you. Some persons say those things. They go, they don't come back. You must live a thankful life. It shows you revere God. You know, I like how Jesus I think that's Luke chapter 4, verse 35. Abi? Luke 6, rather, 35. I look at Matthew 5. Look at this. Luke 6, 35. Glory to God. Let's see Matthew. It's the same story, but Matthew 5, 45. I love how that's the phrase I'm looking for. Matthew 5, 45. He said, that you may be the children, now watch this, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh what? He maketh what? So who owns the Son? He said he maketh his Son. See, even this Son you enjoy is God's Son. Like, I want you to see that whatever we have, the sun, the rain, it is his. And we must never become so used to them and feel like, well, it's just what everybody has. Are you getting me, friends? He maketh his sun. He sendeth his rain. It belongs to him. The life that you're living, he gave you. You must live a life of thanksgiving. It is reverence to thank God. That's why I normally tell you, well, whatever God does for you should remain big in your eyes. Let me say it a couple of times. Everything God does for you should remain big in your eyes. There was a day you were broke. You needed so much money. It happened 5 years ago. And you got 1K. And that 1K delivered you. But you see now, you are now worth more than 1K. You are now worth 10 million. I remember it and it's just so small. It should not be small. Because without that 1K, you will not be alive today. To have 10 million, you must remain big in your eyes. I tell people, magnify the Lord in your heart. Yeah, magnify God in your heart. The miracles of Jesus must remain big to you. That's why you must learn to lift your hands and to thank him. It's a sign of reverence. It's a sign of honor. It's a sign that I recognize that you are the one that did these things. You gave me life. Can I say something to you? Every good thing that happens to your life is a miracle of God. Never think you merited it. Never think it's because you wrote for the interview that you got it. Many others wrote, they didn't get it. Let me even say this. Never think it's because you know somebody. Many people know people and they promise them and on that day they did not get it. Has man ever failed you in this life? The day man fails you, you will learn to bless God. Everything that you see in your life that is good is worth thanking God for. It's a mark of reverence. It's a mark of reverence. You were sick, you almost died, but you got healed. You kneeled down and you said, thank you, Jesus. It is not paracetamol that healed you. Because others take that paracetamol and they die. Do we have thankful hearts this morning? A man that walks in reverence towards God is always ready to lift his hands and say thank you. That's why I was singing, I was dancing. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things. And through you are all things. You must be ready to thank him like that. We stand here because you gave. We are alive because you are. We have because you gave us. You notice when Solomon, they wanted to give in the temple, after they built the temple, they told God, all we are giving is what you've given us. So you see that money in your account, you have it because God gave you. Are you following me? You have it because God gave you. You passed the exam because God helped you. Nothing stopped you from falling so sick on that day and you failed the exam. You passed because God gave. If you are still here, say amen. So a life of thanksgiving is a life of reverence. Let me rush through this. Now, the next sign of reverence is by you honor God and you reverence God by how you honor his house. Everybody, please open your eyes. Open your ears because I'm getting to the end of this message, but the Lord said I should emphasize this a lot. You see, one major mark of reverence is how you honor God's house. He says, sir, but I am the house of God and the temple of God. Yes, but that is also the house of God called the church, the local church. More than 80% of the time the word church was used in the New Testament, it referred to the local church, not you. In 1 Timothy 3 verse 14, let me just put it up. Everybody look at the screen. I'd like to read together with you. So with your voice, are you ready? Do you have a voice? Are you ready? Are we ready? Let's go.
Uh-huh. Now pay attention to verse 15. Uh-huh. That thou mayest know, brother. Go ahead. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground. So there is a way to behave yourself in the church. And it is a mark of irreverence to come to church and feel it's yet just another place and you can behave anyhow. It's something I'm going to say to you today. It may sound 1980 to you, but it is the word of God. The church is God's house. It is a spiritual place. When you come into church, you reverence God in church. Psalm 89 verse 7. We started with that. I'm going to read it to you again. When you come to church, you reverence God in his house. The church is not and can never be a place to behave anyhow. It can never be a place we say anything. It can never be a place we act anyhow. And by the time I'm done, you understand why we do some things we do in this church. In case you don't know, we don't gather here for frivolities. That's why there are some things you can see in other places. You can't see it here. For instance, this stage can never be given out for comedy. No matter how woke or 21st century that sounds, you don't use God's house for comedy. And the funny thing is, we are cracking joke with the supernatural. We are cracking joke with tongues. The boy now said, Rav, all of us now laugh. Both the sayer and the laugher. But I have a problem. Funny enough, the person cracking the joke and the person laughing, they don't even pray in tongues. There is nothing funny about the supernatural. God is greatly to be feared. Where? In the assembly of the saints, when we gather, we must gather with the fear of God. And that's why God's house is not a place for anything. God's house is a serious place. And so the knowledge of the grace of God and our forgiveness in Christ Jesus should not produce lackadaisical attitude. It shouldn't produce that. It shouldn't produce looseness. We must reverence him when we come to his house. Everything we do in church must be done reverently. That's why, for instance, you don't come to church when you like. You come to church when the time for church has come. It is reverence. Let me say this to you. Some of you know what I'm going to say now. You can't want to attend a meeting with your boss and you allow the boss to get there before you. You might as well lose your job that day. It is irreverence for your boss to be seated every time and you walk in. But most of us, we don't say this, so we come to church when we wake up. But when we have exam, we go to the exam when the time is set. It's because you don't reverence God. And I'm going to tell you to take correction. Are you following me? You take correction. You must walk in reverence. And this is how you prepare the church. The church becomes a place of miracles. When all of us come to church and we have this reverence, if our church becomes a place of reverence for God, it is easier for the power of God to move in that kind of environment. Because every heart is holding God in high esteem. We value him. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's very easy for us to receive from God. But that God you disdain in your heart, even when he's blessing, you don't have enough faith to even believe whatever he's saying. Are you following me, church? That's where timing, that's where dressing comes in. I need not tell you, you can't dress anyhow to church. I know you are mad. But that your madness should know where to stop you. Are you following me? Now, I'm not a church. You are not a church that says a lady cannot wear trousers. Actually, the Bible never said anything like that. If you study your Bible, how it should be studied, there's no place the Bible says you should not wear trousers. There's no single place. No single place. I've explained that. If you are still confused about that, get my teaching on outfits. I explained this. It's on the site. But you see, even the kind of trouser you wear should have honor. Are you following me? That is a way. That is, this is God's house. Even though the plan of God is when we get to a time where what you wear in church becomes what you wear out there too, then you've grown. It's not wearing long skirt to church on Sunday. Saturday is the wedding of your best. You go with handkerchief. You tie handkerchief here, tie small handkerchief here, small handkerchief here.
That's you are dishonoring your body. But while we are yet to cure you of that madness, don't carry it to church. This is a spiritual place. And you must recognize that this is God's house. Do you know the problem? Some of you, with all the wokeness, if you still want to leave your house where your father is, there is a way you dress. True or true? It's not when you have left, like now, some of you, if you see when you get to the park, that you now change to all this nonsense you used to wear. So it means even before your biological father, for some of us that have strict fathers, my dad does not shout. He looks. Look, he doesn't shout. He just turns and looks at you. You start explaining yourself. Now, it means even for our biological father, we know there is a way we should not dress. But it's okay to come to church and dress anyhow and claim that nobody should tell you what to do. You know, are you ready for me this morning? There's a video that trended some time ago of someone that went to do best man for somebody. You saw that video? They went to do best man for his friend. And he was on earring. How many of you saw that video? Now, I have nothing wrong with earring, but I'm going to address this. And the pastor said he should remove the earring because they don't use that in this church. And he refused. He refused. And walked out of the church. And did a video. And said, I went to church to do best man. And the pastor said, Africans, and we Africans, we are so backward. I said, you are so stupid. The same man goes to Babalawo's house. And they say, remove your slippers outside. I get the point. I'm not saying it is right to wear earring or it is wrong. The man said, this is how we do here. Why would you just respect that when you are there and go outside and put your stuff back? Are you following what I'm talking about? But because we think we know more than God. And I thank God for such pastors who don't take nonsense. Yes. You know me. I have an apology for you, for telling you the truth. Amen? No apologies. Some of you, when you go to church, pastor by a young person, you think when they go there, they're trying to make you happy. I have no plans to make you happy. No plans. I'm going to serve you God's word. And you readjust to God's word. You readjust to it. You don't just act anyhow. Just, you know, the person goes to Babalawa's house, he behaves himself. The person is in mass comm department. She knows she must wear sky blue and black trousers. The person is a law student. He wears white shirt and black, but he wants to come to church and feels I can wear anything I want to wear, however I want to wear it, and you can't tell me what to do. After all, it's my life. Was it not your life in the classroom? Even people that are medical students and nursing students, they will tell you that in class, there is a kind of hair you cannot even fix and come to class. Am I correct? Now, it's just because, but in church, nobody should tell you what to do. Well, that is not here. We are going to tell you what to do. And in case you've been behaving in how, we are not yet telling you what to do. It's because you've not yet come in very well. If you come in very well, we'll start telling you what to do. By God's word, say amen. By God's word. So the church is a spiritual place. Your dressing, submission, and let me even address something before I begin to wind down. Worship, that's why our songs in church, the time for praise in church is not a time to entertain. If not, it becomes nonsense. Everything we do should be done reverently. And that starts from everything. It starts from even the choice of words. People think that praise session in church is just a time you say nothing and play fast beats. Yeah, dance unto the Lord. That is irreverence. You're not praising God. You're entertaining yourself. You are clubbing in God's house. What makes it praise is that we are praising Him. That's why you notice in this church, when we are singing, the aim is not for the song to be sweet. It is for you to hear what we are saying. And you better start listening to what we are saying through our songs. Because they are powerful. Are you following me? They are powerful. And that is how you come to church, from opening prayer to the praise session, you're already getting blessed. Because you are hearing what they're saying. Not because somebody is trying to make ginger. See, the reason we sing praise is not to ginger the atmosphere. If not, we are just walking in irreverence towards God. Our songs must be His songs. The wardens, we don't just sing anything. Can I add something? We don't even just dance anyhow. This is church. And your buttocks is not an instrument of praise. Are you following me? This is church. Say amen. You think church, you say, but if the perception is hot, imagine that step that the Holy Ghost is not even moving in those churches. The perception is hot. A band again, they are rocking. In church. It shows, it tells you that the Holy Ghost, there's one piece not moving in that church. They're just having fun. It's in the presence of God, there is liberty. You're holding against waist in church. Liberty. Your hand will burn. You see, I want to say this. We are a new creation church through and through. I hope you know this. If you don't know it now, you should know. We're a new creation church to the core. I have no apologies for preaching eternal salvation. Salvation is eternal and will forever be. Say amen. The believer can never go to hell. That is a truth that even if you fight it tomorrow, it is still the truth. God can never reject the believer. Even if you fight it next week, it is still the truth. It is true. But it is not a call to just walk in irreverence. Are you following me, church? It doesn't call for irreverence. It doesn't call for irreverence. Friend, once you walk into this door, stand in awe of God. Have an attitude of reverence. They say, lift your hands, you lift the hands. They say, pray in tongues, you are praying in tongues. It's not time to chat. It's not time to reach out to your friend on WhatsApp. It's not time to check what is happening on Facebook. It's not time to check life score. Because whether you check it or not, if they will win you, they will still win you in that match. And there's nothing you do about that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because whether once you're a Man U team, you must lose. You must lose. If you like, be checking life score in church. And let me even say this to you, when you come to church, stay focused. Stop checking life score so that you not be distracted when you are losing. Stay focused. Are you following me? Learn this. Don't check life score. It's not a place of checking life score. It's a place of serious. I tell you, once I walk into this store, some of you that are very close to me, you know there are days I can be coming to church. I'm not really in a good mood. But once I walk into this door, it's like the atmosphere, if you know me very closely, everything about me changes when I enter this door. This is God's house. That's why we did that song. This is your house. This is your home. We honor you, Father. We honor you. This is a place of honor. It's a place of reverence. That's why when we worship, if you say, I bow my knees, you bow your knees. If you say, I lift my hands, you lift your hands. Are you getting the point? If we say we lift our voice, you lift your voice. We are here to honor the King and His King and His Son. We are here to honor Jesus. We are here to declare His praise. That's what we do in worship. So when we say, with my hands lifted up, you lift your hands up. Are you getting the point? But when we say, I bow my knees, you bow your knees. Every time you come to church, learn this. Stand in awe of Him. It's an opportunity to reverence Him. That's why when they say sing, you are singing loud. When they say pray, you are praying. Prayer time is not a time to look around. This is God's house. This is God's house. And what a privilege to stand in His presence. What a privilege. And we must not take that privilege for granted. We must never. We must never get so used to it. What's happening? Is it not church? You cannot tell me what to do. We can tell you what to do. God's word can tell you what to do. So you come in here. Your focus should be on Him. How can I say this to you? That's how to get the best out of church. You're coming into church. You're dropping all your problems, all your worries at the door. You're focusing on Jesus and His Son and Him alone. I know things didn't work out yesterday. But once you come in here, behold His awesomeness. Behold His mightiness. Behold how great and how powerful He is. Praise and worship time. It's time for reverence. As I'm teaching, you must reverence the word. You must honor the word. One of the ways you honor the word is that you write, is that you respond to the word. We say praise God, you say hey, hallelujah. We bless you, you say amen. You must honor the word. You must respond to it. This is a place of reverence, friends. And all our church centers, and I'm bringing this as a message to the body of Christ, our churches are a place of reverence. And we must always look up to God and stand in awe of Him whenever we appear before God, we appear in church. Psalm 89 verse 7, he said, whenever we come, he said, in sanctuary we must fear Him. That fear does not mean to be afraid of Him. I've explained that. But when we come, we must reverence Him. That some of you know, I have zero tolerance for misbehaving. Some of you know now, some of you that were LMP, the last time I came in, they were singing, so we were sitting down. I had to correct that sharply. It's a mark of irreverence. We are singing, you are outside discussing with people. We are praying, you are outside. What are you doing? This is God says, if you will not be here, go home. But if you are going to be here, you must reverence God. And what have you dishonor Him? He is not going to strike you dead because He is love, but He deserves to be honored. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. Sing you. Say you are worthy of it all, Jesus. You
are worthy of it all.
For from you are all things.
For from you are all things.
Yes, 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 yes.
And to you are all things.
You deserve the glory.
You deserve the glory.
Say you are worthy of it. Say
you are worthy of it all.
Say you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy of it all.
You are worthy of it all.
For from you are all things.
For from you are all things.
And to you are all things.
And to you are all things.
You deserve the glory.
You deserve the glory.
Say
you are worthy of it all.
Say you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy of it all.
You are worthy of it all.
For from you are all things, Jesus.
For from you are all things.
And to you are all things.
And to you are all things.
Hey, Baba, Roka,
you deserve the glory.
I'm going to teach for 15 more minutes, but the atmosphere of this meeting has changed. The Lord said, when you begin to talk about this very point, I'm going to show up in my awesomeness. Because this is His house, He must be reverenced with everything. He must be reverenced. We must learn to bow our knees. We must learn to lift our hands. We must learn to reverence Him. That's why in church, nothing should be done in the flesh. Dancing should not be in the flesh. Rejoicing should not be in the flesh. Are you getting the point? Nothing should be done. We don't sing in the flesh. Nothing should be done in the flesh. What does it mean to do it in the flesh? To do it not focusing on Him. If we find ourselves shouting in church because we just want to keep the place very hot, we are walking in the flesh. But when we are here, if we are going to shout, we are shouting because of Him. If we are going to kneel, we are kneeling. Sometimes, you know, some kneeling, some lifting of hands, some lying down in church are in the flesh. Some are doing it to show off. Camera is coming around you. You kneel down. You're walking in the flesh. They are praying. People, you want people to feel your prayer warrior. How you know them? They don't last for more than 20 minutes. 5 minutes, Seth. because they just want people to know them. This is a spiritual place, church. And all over this, as I'm talking about this, I feel the presence of God enveloping us everywhere. All over our centers, wherever you're following you from. There is that tangible presence of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. You are awesome in this place. Mighty God.
You are awesome in this place. Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise.
To you, Lord.
To you, our hearts we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Wherever you're following, even in your room, the presence of God is coming right there. As it is in this auditorium, it is like that to you, wherever you are now. That's why even when you follow services online, you must do it in reverence. It's not the one you are following, you are cooking, you can't get the best out of it. Separate time. It is the Lord and Him alone. You are now in His house. When they say kneel, you kneel and raise your hands. Oh, Rabashino Vakarabatea. Zore Kiarabatosh.
Sit for a moment. I want to close in 15 minutes. Just be beyond the strings.
Woo! You see, that's why even when it comes to preaching, preachers must know that in the house of God we reverence Him. We don't preach anything. We don't preach motivation in church. We don't preach secular humanism. If not, we are walking in irreverence. His house, in His house, the word, His word must be preached. What do you think Jesus was trying to teach in Luke, in the book of Luke? He came into the temple and He saw them selling. What did He tell them? My house shall be called a house of prayer. That means that there are some things that you cannot do inside church. Are you following me? You know, somebody asked me recently, can we use church hall for wedding reception? And I told him yes. I said, but I won't allow that. And he said, why? I said, it's a very simple thing. If I allow you to use church for wedding reception, I can't control what happens. I can't control the song the DJ will play. Do you understand? He said, so what if they play secular song? Is secular song bad? No. Songs are for different occasions. You can sing a love song to your wife and it's not bad. Do you understand? But you see this speaker. He cannot play secular song. You get what I said? He said, you guys are just too uptight. Exactly. You say, why can't he play secular song? The reason why this guy cannot play secular song, I'll tell you, is the reason why you cannot sit on this seat. This is a normal seat we bought from the market, but we bought it and we called it pastor's seat. It means it has been dedicated for the pastor's use only. We dedicated these instruments for the use of God only, for ministry. We can't use it to entertain the flesh. Are you following what I'm talking about? It's not because it's this. You want to go, you have your time with your wife at home and you're singing a love song to your wife. It's beautiful. But I won't do that in church here. This is a holy ground. Are you following me, church? Say whatever you want to say, it's fine. I can't now allow you to do a deception here. You say, what other reason? Because I can't control what people will wear into this place. You know, in wedding reception, people come naked. Then they will now start taking alcohol inside church. He said, is alcohol bad again? If you bring that here, that bottle will break in your hand. Don't try it. Don't try it. Do you know, I believe that, let me say this to you. I believe you can consecrate a place so much that when people come into that place, they feel God's presence without anybody seeing anything. I believe in it. You can consecrate a place so much that when somebody is sick, they just say, that's what we want to do to this, or that's why this place, this stage is not the place to come and do anyhow. So when someone is sick, he can come and lie down here and get healing immediately. If we're going to have that kind of place, we cannot use it for just anything now.
Is where we've come to offer praise and seek we. Yes, 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 yes. That's it. No more outside. Sing before the throne, sing.
Before the throne.
It's where we've come. Just sit, let's sing it.
It's where we've come.
To offer praise.
To offer praise.
And seek wisdom.
And seek wisdom.
Hey, Korabadash.
You have torn the veil.
There are miracles in this place as I'm doing that's this thing now. No more outside.
No more outside. Now in your hands.
So we bow, sing.
So we bow.
As we've entered.
As we've entered the throne room. And we curse ourselves down at your feet.
We cry holy, say,
we cry holy. There is no like you
in your presence.
In your presence.
It's where we live now. Sing it.
It's where
we live now.
We live now.
Say your presence is where we live right now.
In your presence.
In your presence.
It's where we live.
So we bow, sing, let me hear.
So we bow. As we've entered
the throne room.
The throne room. And we curse ourselves down at your feet.
We cry holy, holy.
We cry holy.
There
is no like you.
In your presence, is where we live right now. If you're trusting God for anything, there is a miracle in this place now.
We leave now.
I knew this moment will come in this service. Now here we are. You can take, if you're trusting God for anything, a healing, a miracle, supply, provision, ask for anything this moment. His awesome presence.
He is where we live now.
Bow down and worship him. We bow down
and worship him. Worship him.
Bow down and worship him.
We bow down and worship him.
Just bow down and worship him. Let me hear you say,
without him, and we worship him.
Worship him, say,
worship him.
Say, Jesus, the King of Kings, say,
and Jesus, the King of Kings.
Jesus, the Prince of Peace.
Jesus, the Prince of Peace.
Worship him, say,
we worship him.
Consuming fire.
Consuming fire. Sweet perfume. Jesus, your presence fills this place.
For this is holy ground.
So we've come and we bow down.
Consuming fire, sing.
Consuming fire. You're a sweet perfume. Jesus, your presence, it fills us praise. For this is holy ground. Oh, so we've come and we bow.
Just keep doing that, consuming fire.
Oh, consuming fire. You're a sweet perfume. And Jesus, your presence,
oh, it feels
this
place.
So we've come and we bow down. Oh, Jesus, your presence. It views this place, for this is holy ground. Oh, Lord, we come and we bow down. Oh, sing your praises. It views this place, for this is holy ground, and we bow, down.
The awesome presence of Jesus. Yes. Yeah. Someone is here with a dislocation in a part of his body, his or her body. Right now, the hand of God is right there where you are. And is fixing what needs to be fixed right now. That dislocation is fixed. So you can do what you couldn't do with that body now. You have total healing right now. There is a broken teeth that God is filling up. God is filling it up. He's filling up that seat. A broken seat that he's filling up. There's a disease that has to do with the blood that Jesus is fixing right now. He's fixing it. There are debts being cleared this morning. Someone is in huge debts and has deadlines to meet. Now the hand of God is moving and you find favor to clear up those debts. Korabakenova suti hada indrove shiti korabateya. Stagnation is lifted. Stagnation is broken. Stagnation is broken. You can now move forward. You can now move forward. Zo babarama no korabatenda barande podoyandash. Zizora. There's a pain at the back region. That the Holy Ghost is removing this moment. There is ulcer being healed in this place. Ulcer being healed supernaturally. Someone has a condition with the ear. Yeah. It's like something like wax keeps pouring out of your ear uncontrollably. I don't know where you're listening or following from. Right now, the hand of God is on that ear and is fixing whatever needs to be fixed by the power of God. Oh, thank you, Father. Someone has a problem with his, is a man with his male reproductive organ. The hand of God is coming upon you and he's fixing that supernaturally by his power. Thank you, Father. There are skin infections that God is removing here right now. And it's disappearing totally. Thank you, Father. Whatever miracle you want, I give you the next 30 seconds. Lay hold on it. This floor is open for anything. Use your tongue. Lay hold on it. Lay hold on it. Whoa, baradadaba. Lay hold on it. Woo. The glory of the Lord is seen in the city. The power of the Lord is felt in the streets. And there will be mighty miracles. Mighty miracles. Yes. And we'll sing hallelujah, that the Lord is good. The glory of the Lord. Let's have the backup singers. Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
There will be mighty miracles,
and every tongue will sing.
And every tongue will sing, hallelujah, that the Lord is good.
Preach one more time. Say the glory of the Lord.
The glory of the Lord.
Yes, 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 yes,
yes. The power of the Lord is felt
on the streets.
In the streets.
All over this place right now.
There will be
mighty miracles. And every tongue will sing.
Every song will sing. Hallelujah.
For the Lord is good. Church this morning.
In the city.
Yes, 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 yes.
The power of the Lord is
in our midst this morning.
In the street.
There will be mighty miracles.
There
miracles,
and every tongue will sing.
Every tongue will sing. Hallelujah. That the Lord is good. That the Lord is good.
Say that with mighty miracles. Sing it like you know it. Sing it again.
There will miracles,
and every tongue will sing.
Every tongue will sing. Hallelujah. That the Lord is good.
Hallelujah. Let's stand. We must reverence God. See, that's why even some of you that are coming to minister on this stage, playing the keyboard, playing the drums, you don't just walk up here anyhow. You don't just walk up here anyhow. You, if you're not prayed, you've not prepared yourself. This is, we must serve God in all form of reverence as we can. I'm not done with this message, but I'm going to stop because of our time. I already sense the Holy Ghost taking over. There's one more point, but maybe another day we'll come back to this. So you reverence God in His house. There have been different points in this meeting. There are points where you've been corrected, points where you had to repent and change, but you did all of them. That's why I tell people, you don't walk into church anytime. You don't also leave church anytime. Once you come here, you're coming into reverence. Because God is in our midst. He said, where two or three of you are gathered in my name, He said, there I am in your midst. I know we carry God on our inside, but He says, when we gather in His name is your cell too. That's why even though it's a cell meeting, you don't walk into your cell meetings anyhow. It's God's presence. Because having choir rehearsal, don't walk in anyhow. Do you know the truth? When we reverence God in our midst, anything can happen anytime. Anything can happen anytime. Like I tell you this morning, some of you have received miracles. And the testimonies are abounding already. Glory to God. Zivrodeya. And I didn't plan to pray for the 6 day. If I was, you know, personally, I tell you what, I'm closing now. I was looking forward to this service. Because I know the Lord told me there will be times that will happen, but just continue. As you begin to talk about it, it will begin to happen. And I tell you, God is awesome in our midst. You know, God, we don't need to feel God. But did you feel His presence this morning? Tangibly. And that's how we must honor all our meetings. And that's why we can come in here, people get blessed, others go home, they are not blessed. Because someone is here in all reverence. The other person is here in contempt and in disdain. Someone from the opening prayer that prayed, his hands are lifted up, he's focused on Jesus. Another person just here playing or doing whatever. And then what happens? He leaves and nothing changes. So God is in our midst. I say God is in our midst. Hallelujah. He's in our midst. And I tell you, you can honor God in your house and in your room. And your room too becomes a place. You see, where people can come in sick and they live healed. So I want to call you to reverence. I told you it's a prophetic word God gave me for the church in Nigeria. Let us not be carried away with all the frivolities in the world. Our God still deserves to be honored. Our God still deserves to be reverenced. Reverencing with our tongue, with our body, in our heart. Even when we come into His house, we reverence Him. That's why I'm not in that league of people who talk anyhow, who say crazy things about God. I'm not in that league. I can never be in that league. Do you get the point? I can never be in that league. You know the problem? No matter how much you insult God and you talk less of Him,
The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that in everybody's heart, everybody knows that there is God. You know there is God. You know he's watching over you. So to just be deliberately ignoring whatever they are saying, speaking anyhow, and then tomorrow you're going to need a miracle from him. I've learned that if I sanctify the Lord in my heart, I hold him very high in my heart. Whenever I want to pray, I know I'm going to receive. So if I don't sanctify God, will God not answer me? God will answer you, but you might not receive anything. I will continue with this maybe next time. But another way you, for instance, reverence God is by trusting him. You're passing through a Lord. Focus your attention on him. Honor the Lord. Serve a man of reverence. I'll give you 2 minutes. Ask God for anything. I'll give you that time, but I want to do it again. Maybe you missed it. Ask God for anything. Since when we are in church, we reverence God. Whether we are shouting, we are doing our gala, we are running up and down, it must be in reverence. Because it must be focused on him. And I'm hearing a song in my spirit. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. You have 2 minutes. I'm going to pray for miracles here. He walks in ways
we cannot see. He will make a way for me.
Yes.
He will be a guide. Hold it closely to his side.
We love and strength.
We love and strength for each new day. He will make a
God will make a way.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He walks in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for us. He will be our guide, hold us closely to his eyes. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way.
Yeah.
He will make a way.
I got it. October is a month of open doors. Yeah. Yeah. Glory. Because I saw in the spirit, I saw bushes, I saw strongholds, and I saw someone walking through and God going ahead to make a way. There are doors open now for October. October shall be a month for open doors. Open doors for the ministry. Open doors for your finance. Doors that have been shut are now opened by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And see how to use this word. If there is any area of your life that you've been trying to make a headway and it has not worked, attack it in October. Doors will be opened. Strongholds will be brought down. The path is cleared. I heard it last night. It's now I'm getting what the Lord was saying last night. He said, rivers in the desert. Rivers in the desert. This coming month shall be for open doors for you. All doors that have been shut against the gospel. All doors that have been shut against your financial breakthrough. All doors that have been shut in the area of your health. They are going to be opened in October. And we receive it by prayer. We receive it by prayer. We receive it by our words. We are going to see bushes cleared. Bushes cleared. Paths made in the desert. Paths made in the sea. Paths rugged iron. Water flowing from the rock. I see doors that have been broken now. Doors that have been broken now. I said I will not just open the door. I will remove the door. Yeah. Where did I get that from? I heard the Lord clearly. When the angel met Peter in the prison. He led him. They got to that door and the door of the prison was locked. The angel lifted the door and Peter passed. There is no more door in your face. The door has been lifted.
So, October, enjoy open doors. I said, enjoy open doors. I said, enjoy open doors. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Help me give three people high five. Tell them congratulations. We are in for something big. We are in for open doors. All you prayed for, they've been answered now. They've been answered now. They've been answered now. Oh, Gabaratadosh. I found strength
in the word of the Lord.
Package your offering over here, come on.
I've got peace by the voice of his prophet. Woo! He said he gets better and better and better and better for me.
Yes, 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 yes.
Supernatural strength is followed by the word of the Lord.
Yes, again.
I found strength in the word of the Lord.
Say, I've got peace.
I've got peace by the voice of his prophet.
He said he gets better.
He said he gets better and better and better and better for me.
Supernatural strength.
Supernatural strength.
Be like two more times.
Before he goes back. I've got strength in the word of the Lord.
Say, I've got peace.
I've got peace by the voice of his prophet.
He said he gets better.
He said he gets better and better and better and
better
for me.
Supernatural strength
is final by the word of the Lord. I've got strength in the word of the Lord.
I've got peace.
I've got peace by the voice of his prophet.
He said he gets better.
He said he gets better and better and better and better for me.
Supernatural strength.
Supernatural strength is
by the Lord. One last word of the Lord. Let me know what you're saying again. Let me hear you say.
I've got strength. Word of the Lord. I've got peace by the voice of his prophet.
He said he gets better.
He said he gets better and better and better and better for me.
Supernatural
strength is my Lord.
Do you believe what I'm singing it from my mind?
I've got strength in the word.
Supernatural strength
is by the word of the Lord.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now I'm hearing this scripture. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. I tell you, God is in our midst. In case you don't know it, I want to let you know God is in our midst. We don't ever gather here in vain. Never. If you don't want to be serious on a Sunday morning, don't come here. That's why some of you worship in churches where in 2 minutes service is over. And then you come here wondering, what are they preaching? See, I have no apologies for you. Because I tell you, when we come to God, as part of reverencing him, is that we give him all the focus and all the attention. Do you wonder why the people in the Old Testament had the kind of miracles they had? Some of these guys, even the book of Acts, they will stay in church all day. You give him full attention, he gives you full attention. It's a very simple thing. And it's not just about him giving you attention. Your heart is now prepared for whatever he wants to give to you. Have you been blessed this morning or this afternoon now? Hallelujah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.